All right, we go to case number 3, which is appeal number 06-2692. That's Das versus Gonzalez. And Ms. Epstein.
Good morning. May it please the court? My name is Wendy Netter Epstein, and I represent the petitioner Jude Stephen Das. Mr. Das was persecuted by Hindu extremists in India because he is Catholic. He was beaten on several occasions, and when he repeated those beatings, he was jailed, and then he was beaten in jail. That much is undisputed. He has established past persecution. The only issue before the court today is the IJ's decision, later affirmed by the BIA, that nonetheless Mr. Das should be returned to India and forced to relocate within that country. This decision is in error for 3 main reasons. First, the IJ and BIA misallocated the burden of proof, which should have been on the government. Second, the IJ and BIA's decision is not supported by substantial evidence in the record. This court has repeatedly admonished against giving undue weight to country reports. And yet the country report is the only evidence submitted by the government in this case. And even then, the country report does not support the government's position that violence against Christians in India is localized. Third, the BIA entirely failed to consider whether it was reasonable to require Mr. Das to relocate, as both the regulations and the case law clearly require. For these 3 main reasons, the BIA's decision should be vacated. Now, taking the burden of proof issue first, the government concedes that the burden was on it to prove that Mr. Das would be safe if he relocated, and not on Mr. Das to prove that he would be harmed if he relocated. The IJ and the BIA just simply got this wrong. Judge Zerbe repeatedly questioned Mr. Das, asking him to provide evidence that in various cities in India he would be harmed. He asked Mr. Das,
India is a country of 1 billion people or so. What
yes.
percentage of Christians?
2% of the population is Christian, Your Honor.
Which, if there's 1 billion, what does that mean? 20 million Christians?
No, 200,000.
200,000.
200,000.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct, Your Honor.
Math was not a strong point in undergraduate school.
Nor was it mine.
I'm from Wisconsin.
They don't count that high.
Illinois judges. But there are 3 provinces that have majority Christians, or 3 states in India?
3 states, yes. And those states are in the northern and I think also the southeastern part of the country. I'm not sure if the southeastern actually has a majority, but they do have a sizable number of Christians. Those are tribal areas that speak a different dialect, different language than Mr. Das speaks.
They speak in Latin. Go ahead.
Obviously, Mr. Das has no family members that live in any of those areas. He has never lived in those areas himself. The record unquestionably demonstrates that Mr. Das has testified, and that testimony has been deemed to be credible, that he could not get employment in any of these areas. There's a caste system in India. Mr. Das is very low on that caste system, being Christian. None of this evidence was properly considered by the IJ.
Are Christians untouchable caste, or are they above that or below it? Don't you know?
I honestly don't know the specifics.
That's
the country report.
I don't either, so we're standing peri delectos.
The country reports simply state that there is a caste system and that it would be very difficult for somebody to move from one caste to another to get a job that way. But the important part here is that the IJ simply assumed, based on what apparently was his own personal knowledge, or we can only assume that's the case, that Mr. Das could get a job, but nothing in the record supports that conclusion, certainly not in the country report, certainly not in Mr. Das's testimony. Just turning very quickly to the substantial evidence issue, as I said, the only evidence submitted by the government is the country report. The government did not question the petitioner. The government did not submit any other evidence. So the only evidence we have to look at is the country reports, and they say things like attacks on religious minorities occurred in several states, violence against Christians continued, to date there have been no prosecutions, and then they go through every geographical area. In the east, attacks continued and were not concentrated in one geographical area. In the west, Hindu nationalist groups targeted Christians. In the north, attacks on religious minorities were no longer confined to Gujarat and Orissa, and in the southern states, physical abuses of converts and ministers were reported. Further, I thought it was interesting that in Bangalore itself, which is one of the cities that the IJ apparently thought that the petitioner should be able to relocate to, the country report specifically talks about the death by beating of Father Swami from the Archdiocese of Bangalore, where he had been threatened by Hindu fundamentalists just weeks earlier. So such references to violence against Christians and Catholics throughout India occur throughout, or mentioned throughout the country reports. Just to briefly address the third issue, the government doesn't even seem to dispute in its response brief that reasonableness is a part of the inquiry when it comes to internal relocation. The BIA discounts all evidence that goes to reasonableness. The only evidence that the BIA mentions is a testimony from Mr. Das that he wouldn't be able to find employment. And instead of considering whether it would be reasonable to require Mr. Das to relocate, even though he wouldn't be able to get a job, the BIA, like I said, discounts this testimony because it doesn't go to whether or not Mr. Das would be harmed. In conclusion, because the IJ and BIA improperly allocated the burden of proof, because there's no evidence in the record that would support the burden of proof even if it were properly allocated, and also because the BIA failed to consider the reasonableness part of the inquiry, petitioner Jude Stephen Das respectfully requests that the court vacate the BIA's decision and remand, recommending that the Attorney General exercise his discretion to grant Mr. Das asylum in the United States. If there are no further questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you.
Ms. Johnson?
May it please the court, my name is Joanne Johnson, and I represent the United States in the case before the court today. Substantial evidence does support the agency's decision finding that Mr. Das could reasonably relocate within India. The record does not compel a contrary conclusion. In this case, a finding of past persecution was made, which gave rise to a well-founded fear of future persecution, which the government must rebut according to the regulations. In this case, the immigration judge considered not only the country reports, but also the testimony of Mr. Das in ascertaining whether it was reasonable for a petitioner to relocate within India. In particular, with respect to the country reports, the immigration judge during the hearing noted several different aspects of the country reports that support that it would be reasonable for Mr. Das to relocate within India. For example, India's constitution provides for a secular government.
Russian constitution used to provide for freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and freedom of travel, but nobody paid any attention to it. Is the Indian constitution being rigorously enforced by the Indian authorities? The cite to the constitution is seems to be begging the question.
Well, in addition to the fact that the Indian constitution provides for a secular government and that there may be problems with enforcing that.
I want to know if it's being enforced. Does the secular government support the Christian section, or does it stand quietly by while the more inflamed members of the different religions beat hell out of the Christians?
Well, the United Progressive Alliance came to power in May of the year that the immigration judge...
so that there's no track record.
And they pledged to respect the country's traditions and religious tolerance. In addition...
Counsel, as I understand the case, when it was remanded from the BIA, the only evidence that the government put in was the country reports. Is that right?
Yes, Your
Honor. There was no additional evidence put in by the government to sustain what was at this point its burden to show that the petitioner could safely relocate, and that the IJ's decision and the BIA's affirmance were based on the agency's conclusion, the judge's and the agency's conclusion, that violence against Christians was localized. Is that essentially the heart of the decision?
First, yes, Your Honor, the government did submit the country reports, and both parties declined to examine the witness. However, under the regulations, it's the adjudicator's responsibility to consider whether the applicant would face other serious harm in the place of suggested relocation. And the immigration judge considered all of the evidence presented by asking petitioner about his situation in India and various other questions, including the fact that his two aunts live in different parts of India and the fact that he's unaware of other...
And what I'm driving at here is that the decision that we're reviewing was based on the conclusion that the violence that this petitioner concededly suffered and fears upon return to India is merely localized. And so that's the decision we're reviewing. And the only evidence that was put in by the government to support that was the country reports. So if I could get you to focus on what specifically in the country reports supports the conclusion that the violence against Christians is merely localized. And I'm asking for specifics, not just the general, the Constitution, you know, provides for religious freedom, et cetera. Something specific to support that conclusion, which is what we are reviewing.
Yes, Your Honor. On page 25 of our brief, we identify different examples in the country reports that support the immigration judge's conclusion. Specifically, Christian concentrations are found in the northeast and southern states, and the southern states in particular have had a history of support for religious minorities, which would go to what Your Honor was just asking regarding localized
persecution. It sounds like it's a reference to where most of the Christians are, not where the violence is.
The southern states have a history of support for religious minorities, which would support the immigration judge's finding that it would be reasonable for a petitioner to relocate to other parts of India, for example, in the southern states where there is a history of support for religious minorities. Sporadic violence may exist within India. However, there, for example, in these southern states have a history of support for religious minorities, supporting the immigration judge's conclusion that it would be reasonable for petitioner to relocate to one of these areas.
Sections of the country report, which I have not yet read, those sections indicate that the southern states are violence-free with respect to religious persecution?
Your Honor, what it said is has a history of support for religious minorities on page AR-299.
That's pretty generalized.
But in addition to that, Your Honor, there are several other points in the report that may not go specifically to the locale, but focus on this concept that there's not a systemic violence against Christians in India. For example, the president of the governing Congress party is a Christian in India. The UPA, which is the party I mentioned earlier, is pledged to respect religious tolerance. And the status of religious freedom has improved in a number of ways during the period covered by the report, acknowledging that problems do remain in some areas, but not indicating that it's everywhere in India, further supporting the immigration judge's conclusion that it would be reasonable for petitioner to relocate. Moreover, petitioner himself conceded that his two aunts live in different parts of India, that his knowledge of incidents of persecution in other parts of India is fairly limited to what his friends have said, who are located in Hyderabad, and what his parents have said, who are located in Hyderabad and admittedly do not leave their home. And petitioner's only explanations with respect to what he considers persecution in other areas is limited, as he admitted that he doesn't read the newspapers and that his perception of persecution in these other areas is that the people are rude, which doesn't rise to a level of persecution in any event.
See, the problem I have with the government's position here is I thought the strongest way to defeat this claim, this asylum claim, would have been that there was no past persecution, that it was problems he had was because he was reporting drug dealing or something like that, not because he was a Christian. But you lost on that. There is past persecution. That's the record. And he's entitled to this strong presumption and a future persecution. I assume at the front of the IJ, you vigorously, or your agency must have vigorously argued that there was no past persecution on this record.
Yes, Your Honor.
I lost on that one. So.
Yes, Your Honor. But according to the regulations, reasonableness of internal relocation is determined as follows. The adjudicator should consider, but is not limited to considering, whether the applicant would face other serious harm in the places of suggested relocation. Those factors may or may not be relevant depending upon all the circumstances of the case and are not necessarily determinative of whether it be reasonable for the applicant to relocate. And here, the immigration judge not only considered the country reports, but also elicited testimony from petitioner to ascertain whether it would be reasonable from petitioner's perspective to relocate to other parts of India. And petitioner's testimony supports actually the immigration judge's conclusion that it would be reasonable for petitioner to relocate to India. Because the immigration judge applied the regs correctly and gave a thorough and reasoned decision considering all the evidence, unlike the other cases in which country reports have been rejected by this court, respondent respectfully requests that the court deny the petition for review.
Ms. Epstein, anything further?
Just very, very briefly. On the question of the situation in the southern states, I just wanted to point out that the country reports do say that there's a history of support, but then go on to say that the southern states continue to demonstrate evidence of support for the Hindutva message, which is, it's defined in the country reports as the politicized inculcation of Hindu religious and cultural norms to the exclusion of other norms. Also, Bangalore is in the southern states. That's where country reports state that Father Swami was brutally killed by Hindu fundamentalists. There are a number of other examples that I'm sure that you'll see. So if the court has no further questions.
Apparently not. Thank you. This case will be taken under advisement. We move